Welcome to the program Study in the Chapel. God's Word is supreme at Chapel Ministries. We consider it absolutely essential to a proper relationship with God. We study it, we love it, we rely on it every minute of every day. The following program is an edited recording of the regular Bible studies we hold, and we decided to share these with you in the hope that you too will be able to find inspiration, encouragement, and ultimately salvation through discovering Christ in Scripture. Our intention is to travel all the way through the Bible. It will be a challenging journey, but one that will undoubtedly bring you to a decision. Through this study, you will be faced with either believing or rejecting what God has said to us. It is our intention to provide you with enough knowledge to make an informed decision about God and His Word. We strongly encourage you to listen intently and diligently, because though at the moment you may not realize it, these things are truly a matter of life and death. In fact, these are matters of eternal life and eternal death. Never treat what God has said lightly. There is truly nothing more important to you. Now, join us as we seek God's will through His inspired Word.
Welcome back to our study in the letter to the Ephesians. We're getting to the point that I can see our next book of the Bible just ahead. We're wrapping this up. Still maybe a few more weeks, but we're getting close to finishing the entire letter to the Ephesians. It's taken us more than a year, and I hope you'll agree that it's been worth the wait. Every single moment of the letter to the Ephesians has been of utmost value to all of us. Well, we've just begun more or less the sixth chapter of the letter to the Ephesians. Let me read it. We're starting at verse 4, so it'll just be the first three verses. I'm going to read out of the King James, the sixth chapter of the letter to the Ephesians, verses 1, 2, and 3. Here we go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. This is the fourth verse. We've been parked here for quite a while. We're finishing it tonight. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We didn't quite finish last week. As I said, I had planned to finish it at that time, but I think it was better for us to wait till this week just to kind of wrap everything up without inundating us with too many details. Just one or two more things to say about it. This verse says, bring them up. We covered that last week, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God is talking to the fathers. God is saying, you're in charge of teaching children something very, very special, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, here is where Paul is going to pour a little reality on the scene. Paul is a pastor, and he knows the importance of balance. You see, Paul understands, and we should understand, that being sweet and loving and caring is not going to get the whole job done. There has to be more. By the way, let me say, the placement of this English word nurture here is not helping us much. Today, we use that word in a far different way than they did in the days of the King James translators. Originally, this word meant simply to provide an environment for growth and development. Today, we use it more akin to coddling and pampering. The idea of education as a part of nurturing is no longer present in our modern use of the term. For some reason, we've abandoned the idea that the goal of nurturing is to provide all the resources necessary for the maturing, not simply the comfort of our children. We have to remember that as parents and grandparents and as potential parents. We have to remember that our purpose in being a parent is that we bring up our children in the admonition, nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's very important that we get that through our heads, that we are to make these children good Christian citizens. Well, John, I'm not a Christian. Well, this applies to you too. Your job is to create good citizens for this world. It isn't just so you can go around bragging about how cute your little baby is. The purpose is for you to create a person that will bring something to this world that's positive. Let's keep moving. Now, the Greek word, the original word that we get our word nurture from, does not convey the same sense of nurturing that we're used to in modern English usage, and it may be causing us a little misunderstanding. And let me warn you, the Greek word that gets translated nurture is not as warm and fuzzy as ektrepho. Remember that from last week, to bring them up. The original manuscripts have the word paideia here, and it carries with it a strong impression, listen to me, of rigorous learning. This isn't just education, but it's education with discipline. Now, I'm not talking about rapping someone's knuckles with a ruler if they get their times tables wrong. It's not that kind of discipline. The type of discipline referred to here, referred to in the original word, carries with it a sense of encouraging, or an objective of encouraging focused, intense study. But, and this is important to this word paideia, it's education with purposeful correction along the way. Again, no one is getting sent to the hot box out in the middle of the exercise yard. No one is going to be standing at the chalkboard with their nose pressed against it for 2 hours after school. I don't even think they do that anymore, do they? Probably not. Carter says no. He's probably the closest to that era than the rest of us. Anyways, no one is going to be sent off to some kind of work camp if you don't get this right. But this is bringing up, maturing, developing our children in a way that impresses upon them the seriousness of the subjects under study in a not so easily forgotten way. You know, though we're not talking about secular education at the moment, walking into an elementary school these days can feel like you're passing through the gates of an amusement park. It's more entertainment than education. Learning seems somehow secondary, especially if it doesn't appear important to the students. Children instead are asked if they would like to learn. It's up to them. No pressure apply. And then the teachers have to resort to television and mobile devices and colorful cartoon characters and video games to coax the kids into learning even just the basics. How many times have you heard that you have to make learning fun in order to get our little ones to want to go along? Now, don't get me wrong. I think there's a place for making learning appealing, but at some point, especially with the things of God, we have to let them in on the fact that proper education, lasting, effective, useful schooling is sometimes work, and very often it's not pleasant. Paul tells us to bring up, ektrepho, our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, I think the obvious clue as to whether this is our version of nurture or God's version of nurture is this included word admonition. Now, let me tell you, that word hasn't changed all that much down through the centuries, and that's probably why we almost never use it. Can you imagine walking into a church service this coming Sunday and hear the preacher talking about admonition of any sort, let alone admonition of the Lord? We want nothing at all to do with admonishing. We don't even like the word. Here is Webster's definition. Admonition, counsel or warning against fault or oversight. Now, there are two words we especially don't like, warning and fault. Warning someone implies a harsh tone. And whatever you do, don't warn someone about their faults, especially your kids. That wouldn't be nice. That might hurt their feelings. It might imply that they aren't perfect little angels. Now, again, in all fairness, Paul isn't talking about getting into someone's face like a drill sergeant and calling them a worthless piece of, you know what, especially if you've been yelled at by a drill sergeant, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The original word in the Greek is nuthesia. And nuthesia purposely carries with it a sense of rebuke, but gentle rebuke. It's meant to be a kind of exhortation. And this sense is actually conveyed by the use of both of these last two words we've been looking at. Remember, nurture is translating the Greek word paideia, and admonition is translating nuthesia. Now, those two words are placed together purposely. You see, Paul is painting a picture with the use of these terms. Now, why are we spending so much time here, John? I'm going to say it again. We must understand that everything we do affects our status within the kingdom, our ability to be useful to God in the kingdom. We must understand that the things of God permeate everything in our lives. There's nothing too small and nothing too great for us to hitch to God, for us to connect to God. We must be aware that there is no side trips on this journey to heaven. There's always the pointing towards God in everything that we do. And that's why we're talking about these everyday mundane things like bringing up your kids. You have to do that in a Christian way as well. Paul is purposely telling us something very important. Now, listen to this short excerpt from the Complete Word Study Dictionary. Quote, paideia is instruction and training by act and discipline. Nuthesia is the milder term without which paideia would be incomplete. In both words, there is the appeal to the conscience, will, and reasoning faculties, unquote. This is a learning process that the pupil sees value in it. It's indeed an appeal to the conscience, will, and reasoning faculties. Fathers, we must get our children to see how important it is to learn the things of God. Listen, mothers, you can help. You're helpful by supporting, but mostly by reminding us ever forgetful dads of these things. This isn't you will learn or else. And this isn't even you will learn or you'll go to hell. This is gentle learning with enough influence and motivation behind it to convey the message that the subject matter is eternal and of the Lord. That is the key to all of this. Listen, you can teach your kids math any way you want to. You can teach them world history any way that you want to. But when it comes to the things of the Lord, this subject matter, you must show them that this is important. This is something that is not just good for their lives, but good for their eternity. You must impress this on them. You must, this is what this word nuthasia means. You must get into their minds. You must make sure that their minds grasp this as being important. Now, let me close by quoting a very small portion of a good article I read on this topic. This is only going to take a moment. Pastor Stephen Whitmer of the Pepperell Christian Fellowship in Pepperell, Massachusetts, says in reference to this section of Ephesians, quote, now listen closely to all of this. Paul isn't merely saying to parents, teach your kids wholesome values and good, clean living. We know that because he tells parents to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Good parental instructions, listen to me, this is a great quote. Good parental instruction points children to Jesus. It's the instruction, discipline, and warning. I love that he had the guts to use that word here. It's the instruction, discipline, and warning that Jesus himself has given us in the New Testament. This isn't moralism. It's a gospel-centered parenting that focuses on the Lord Jesus. Dads and moms, let's gladly embrace the authority God has granted us as parents for the glory of Christ and the eternal good of our kids. And by the way, parenting never ends. Those of us with grown children will tell you parenting never ends. Just because your kids are gone doesn't mean this doesn't apply anymore. Sometimes when our kids become busy with their lives and their marriages and their careers, we have to remind them of the truly important things of God. Just because they're in their 30s and 40s with their own little tribe running around doesn't mean this isn't going to help them. Remember that. And listen, I'll say what I said last week. This isn't going to be an easy thing to pull off, but never, 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 never forget that God is there with you. Everything that Paul has talked about in this letter, I want to remind you that he is right there with you. God is right there with you, helping you to achieve the things he expects out of you. He's the one calling you to this mission. He's obligating himself to provide the necessary resources. Here's my analogy I use all the time. During the Vietnam War, lots and lots of young men were drafted into the army to fight the war in Vietnam. Most of those young men had never fired a gun in their lives. They had never put on a helmet. They'd never hiked 20 miles. They brought them with themselves their blue jeans and their cutoff T-shirts, none of which would be useful in war. Well, if the United States government, if the United States Army wanted them to be worthwhile soldiers, they had to give them the equipment and the training to achieve the mission they were to go on. If the United States wanted this mission to be successful, they were going to have to provide all the necessary resources. The same with our Lord. He's called us to this. He knows more than you and I that we're absolutely ill-equipped to handle whatever he's asking us for. And please never forget, he is there helping us achieve all of these things he's commanding us to do. So that's it for verse 4. Next week, we shift gears a bit. I know it's a short lesson tonight, but I didn't want to hop into this next lesson because it actually is going to take us a few weeks to talk about. This, again, applies to us in our lives, though if you've read ahead, you may wonder why I'm saying that. It is going to be an important section of this letter for us to understand. That's why I'm going to take the entire next few weeks to study it. I didn't want to jump into it this week. So next week, we start with verse 5 of Ephesians 6. Be with us then.
We hope this study has blessed you. God's Word is a great treasure, and it's our belief that a thorough, purposeful study of it will bring all of God's children to an understanding of His eternal plan of redemption. It is our prayer that this will be so for all of our listeners. Please join us again soon. New content is being added all the time, so make sure you check back often. For more information on Chapel Ministries, including our YouTube channel and podcasts, please visit www.chapelontheweb.com. And if God has laid it upon your heart to share materially with us, we encourage you to follow the links to our secure giving page. Please note, Chapel Ministries is not an IRS-registered nonprofit organization, and your donations to this program are not tax-deductible. It's our hope that you do not rely on taxing authorities to decide for you who is worthy of your generosity.